So have you ever played with Legos? Legos are great. I love Legos. There's so many different things you can build, like cars, boats, planes, buildings, animals, other mythological creatures, anything you want. If you have enough Legos, you can build it. I mean, people have built absolute masterpieces with Legos. I'm supposed to have a slide. And just Legos are great. Have you ever stepped on a Lego, though? That's not fun. You step on a Lego, you're going to be in pain, and if you're not paying attention or you just have a poor sense of balance, you might find yourself on the floor. We work very much the same way. We can build up and support and be part of a structure, or we can tear down and cause pain. We can support others and build them up, or we can bring them down. We can be a beautiful masterpiece or just a pile of rubble. Paul understood this and addressed this issue in his letter to the Romans in chapter 14, if you would turn with me there. So, just something that happened real quickly to put this in context is that one of the emperors, I can't remember which specific one, had exiled all the Jews from Rome, but then later Nero brought them back into the city, but it had been long enough that the church in Rome had kind of been divided a bit on certain issues. And so Paul begins in chapter 14, starting in verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So, what apparently, from what we can tell, was a big issue was that the Jewish Christians, because it was what they were used to, were still following the old Jewish food laws. And what Paul's saying here is that's fine because they have a weaker faith, and so they're sort of restraining themselves. But there's a broader issue he's addressing here. And that broader issue is that we are not to let these small issues that are simply matters of opinion or personal preference get in the way of who we consider our brother or sister. Because they might be a weaker Christian and it might cause them to stumble. So you might be wondering, then what is a weaker Christian? How can you tell a weaker Christian apart? I mean, this is a legitimate question, and it's one that we might confront, but we don't often answer. And so, usually weaker Christians are typically what we would call new or young Christians. They might have studied a lot, but there's still a long way to go for all of us, and them especially. They might care more about obeying what you might call the letter of the law, as opposed to being changed into the kind of person that knows what to do in certain situations. And so they might seem more strictly legalistic, which Christianity is not. They, as here, might put restraints on themselves where Scripture does not. And as long as it doesn't conflict with Scripture, that's fine. Different opinions on certain issues are fine, as long as neither opinion conflicts with Scripture. However, there are differences between just matters of opinion and legitimate issues, which really, there is a way to tell them apart, and it's a simple question. How drastically does this affect my faith? If it's just a minor change or it doesn't change it at all, it's a matter of opinion, and it doesn't really matter. But if it does drastically change your faith, if you believe it, then it is a real issue, and it needs to be weighed against Scripture. There, of course, are some issues we cannot compromise on. One Lord, one faith, one Savior who was fully divine and fully human, died and was raised so that we can die to our sins and be raised into the kingdom through one baptism, and through that gain the one Spirit. Now, this, of course, is not exhaustive, but is a place to get you thinking. However, there are some issues that, while we might have differing opinions on them, they don't matter. I'm going to pick on Josh. Where are you? There's Josh. I'm going to pick on Josh because he picks on me all the time. So, say we have a difference in a matter of opinion on a small issue. Let's say adding in contemporary songs to the worship alongside the old traditional hymns. I, let's say, would be all for bringing in some newer, more contemporary songs, whereas Josh would rather stay with the old hymns, which we all know, and which he knows, and which I know. My course of action then would not be to do what I would do, being me, and constantly bug Josh about it, but rather I would consider what might this do to him, and when I'm around him, I leave the issue alone. I don't bring it up, because I don't know how it might affect him and how he views me. We can be the stray Lego lying in the dark hallway, just waiting for someone to step on us, to cause them pain, something that shouldn't even be there. But we don't have to be, and we're called not to be. He continues on, starting in verse 16, "So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." What he's saying here is that we should be willing to do things a bit differently and restrain ourselves in certain areas for the sake of keeping peace and building each other up. We're a family, and while families fight, they work through issues. Or if it's not a big issue, they just drop it. We're called to do the same thing. We're not to be the stray Lego in the hallway, but we're instead called to be the Lego in the structure that supports and builds up other people. He continues on in verse 20. "Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." That is a profound statement that really should affect all of us. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. We are to let the Spirit lead our lives. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to be going around with a Bible, hitting people on the head every minute of every day and talk about nothing but the Bible. But what it's saying is, let God guide your life. If you might have to change, you will have to change. But it's a learning process. It's a growing process. And that's what we do. And so, in that, part of it is that when we're around people that restrain themselves in ways that we don't, then we restrain ourselves in the same way. That way, the other person doesn't sin against their own conscience. Now, this passage is not saying everything is okay. We have the entire book of 1 Corinthians to tell us that. There are still some actions that are inherently sinful. Instead, what this passage is saying is it's saying, before you do something, ask yourself this question. Can I do this in faith and glorify God through it? If you can, that is good. That is great. But don't let your faith get in the way of somebody else's faith. Because if you can change yourself to fit in, because if you can change your actions to fit within their idea, then you should. He continues on at the beginning of chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Our faith is both inwardly focused and outwardly focused. As far as being inwardly focused goes, our faith is our own. It's a covenant we keep between us and God. And so how we restrain ourselves is our own doing. Being outwardly focused, though, means that we are to care about other people who share our faith. And in caring for them, we worry more about how do my actions affect them than how do their actions affect me. We are to bear with the weaker members of the congregation for the sake of building them up. Now, this isn't saying that we're to let the weak stay weak, but rather we're to strengthen the weak into these new experiences. For example, Jesus didn't leave people where they were. Instead, he taught them. And through that teaching, those that stayed with him were changed. Another example is James in the book of Acts. During the Jerusalem Council, when a fight almost broke out between Peter and Paul over the issue of circumcision, James was there and brought them together around a common faith and pointed out, this isn't worth fighting about because there's better, there's more, there are bigger issues. Paul then, later with Timothy, after the Jerusalem Council had already settled the issue, with Timothy, circumcised him because of his half-Jewish heritage and because they were going to preach and proclaim to Jews. And so, wondering how that would affect them, he took actions to accommodate their faith and for the sake of strengthening their faith. If y'all have noticed, or if y'all haven't, there are different people up here on Wednesdays and Sundays doing various different things. And that's exactly what the point of those rotations is. It's getting people involved and strengthening them so that they can be pushed out of their comfort zones in new ways that strengthen them. We are to complement each other, converse with each other, critique one another, and encourage one another so that we build each other up. So then the question is, well, how do I put this into my life? I'll give you an example. Say you're going around running some errands and you happen to run into somebody you haven't seen in a while. You would go up to them, talk to them, have a conversation, ask them how they're doing, and invite them to Sunday morning or Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, or another event that might be coming up at that time. For parents, bringing your children here, talking to them about the Bible, explaining to them why we do what we do. Whenever they get to a point where they can understand, talking with them about the difficult issues of our faith. If you have a friend who's curious about the faith, then study with them. Talk with them about it. If there's somebody that you know that you haven't seen in a while, then call them or visit them. Talk with them. Ask them how they're doing. Encourage them. Pray for them. Be willing to expand your own horizons and encourage other people to do the same thing. This is, of course, as I said earlier, not an exhaustive list, but it's somewhere to get you start thinking, how can I implement this into my life personally? We are called not to be the stray Lego in the hall that causes somebody pain and causes them to stumble, but instead we're to be the Lego in the structure that supports and builds up and uplifts others. We're not to tear each other down over matters of opinions, but we are rather to build each other up over common ground. We're not to quarrel over issues that don't matter, but instead we are to make peace with one another and unite around the one faith. We are called to be one, and being one, we support each other, we uplift each other, we build each other up for the sake of peace in the Spirit. In doing all of this and more, we become a better representation of the body. We'll build up each other, strengthen each other, pursue peace, almost second nature, because we'll be so used to it. Just imagine how the reaction would be if people came here and thought, not, wow, they fight over the dumbest issues, but rather they went, wow, these people are a family. They don't fight. They don't have these conflicting opinions that get in the way of each other that the church is infamous for. We're not to put down stones for other people to stumble over. Instead, we are to lay down bricks that build each other up. If you feel that there have been stones that have been laid in your path, or you need to be built up in any way, or you want to take the first step into a new life of being built up through baptism, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.